In John chapter 20, when the disciples were in that upper room, afraid of the enemy, Jesus appeared unto them, and the Bible tells us, and then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. The most enjoyable times, the most wonderful times in the house of God is when we're able to see the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope you will pray that during the rest of the service here tonight that we'll be able to see and feel His presence. John chapter 12, verse 1. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom He raised from the dead. There they made Him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that had sat at the table with Him. You ever had a visit with someone, and it turned out to be just a wonderful, wonderful time of fellowship? I can recall having a visit with someone that really it was for the purpose of hopefully reuniting us in fellowship, because there had been some tension between us, and I just dreaded it. I had such a fear, and it turned out to be one of the most wonderful time of fellowship and reuniting our ties together that I've ever experienced. Sometimes fellowship together can be very refreshing. And I think this was one of those special evenings in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you notice it says 6 days before the Passover? Jesus knew what He was facing. And I want you to notice where He came to, where these friends, these dear friends, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus lived. It says He came to Bethany. Bethany was only about 2 miles away from where the heart of His enemies were. If you read John chapter 11, of course, it starts out with the resurrection of Lazarus from the dead. But then after that took place, the Bible tells us that the chief priests, the scribes, and the Pharisees held a council together. Said, what are we going to do with this man who's performing all these miracles? If we let him alone, all men will believe him, and the Romans will come and take our nation away. And so verse 53 says, then from that day forth they took counsel together for to put Him to death. And then the very last verse of chapter 11, before we go into 12, says, now both the chief priests and the Pharisees had given a commandment that if any man knew where He was, he should show it, that they might take Him. Jesus risked a lot to come to this place that evening to have fellowship with these His friends. They made Him a supper, and Martha served. You'll notice there's 3 different individuals that's gathered at this place: Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And I think when we combine these 3 individuals, it's a picture of what all of us ought to be to the Lord Jesus Christ and to His church here in this world. We see Martha, she's serving. She's a picture of work. Every child of God ought to be active in the kingdom of God, doing what God has told them to do. Now, I realize that she got things out of place over in Luke chapter 10. And she came in complaining about, Master said, send Mary in here that she might help me. But apparently she learned her lesson that night. The Lord told her, many things are needful, but Mary has chosen that good part, which was sitting at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know for sure how many individuals was here, but there could have been as many as 15 people gathered. How'd you like to have 15 people to come in on you one night for supper? But we don't hear one word of complaining as far as Martha is concerned. Then, of course, there was Lazarus. Lazarus is a picture of the witness that a child of God is to be. Lazarus was the one that was, he was a miracle walking. He was a man that had been dead, and he was raised to life. I said this morning, and speaking about Lazarus, that Lazarus didn't say a word in the New Testament after this, and I misspoke that. I shouldn't say that. The Bible doesn't record any words that he spoke. I'm sure he spoke, but he didn't. There's no words that's recorded. But nevertheless, there was many individuals that saw him, and the Bible says that because of that, they believed on the Lord Jesus Christ because they saw the miracle that he had done. You and I have been raised from death and sins to life in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we are walking miracles as well. But Martha is what I'd like to notice for just a moment here especially, because Martha is a picture of worship. Worship, we worship the Lord Jesus Christ because He is worthy of our worship. I want you to notice that, well, first of all, let me preface it by asking you a question. Why are you here tonight? That's between you and God, that answer, but why are you here tonight? Somebody says, well, it may be that I'm a member of the church and the church is meeting tonight. It's my responsibility to be here tonight. But I hope it was more than just that. Let's examine our worship around what Mary did here on this particular time. The Bible tells us that she took, verse 3, then took Mary a pound of ointment, of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. In the New Testament, the honor of a woman was her hair. She took that hair. She got down at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. The hair was her glory. And she put her glory at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ because she wanted to worship Him. She wanted to refresh Him this night. No doubt she knew and had some glimpse of what was going to happen to Him and what He was going to do for her in His suffering on the cross. When she came that night, she didn't come to make a request of Jesus. She had done that before. Remember when Lazarus was dead, she and Martha had sent word to Jesus and requested that He come, hoping that He would get there before Lazarus died, because no one had ever died in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. He delayed 4 days, and of course he was dead, but he had a greater miracle to perform, and that was to raise Lazarus from the dead. So she made requests of him before, but tonight she's making no request. It's thanksgiving. It's worship at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the Bible tells us in Psalms chapter 100, and we read this in verse 4. He says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. I think it's very significant that those two things are arranged in the order that they are. He says, if we will come into his gates with thanksgiving, then I think we can come into his courts with praise. When we think about all the things that the Lord has done for us, it's easy to praise Him, isn't it? Because He has certainly done so very much for us. And she comes with no selfish prayer, no selfish request. She just comes this night to make no request of Him. She comes not only that, but not to have, there was the disciples that was with Him, or at least the apostles that was probably with Him on this occasion. But she didn't come just to have fellowship with them. It's wonderful to come to the house of God and have fellowship one with the other, isn't it? I am so thankful that the churches that I pastor, I enjoy being with those people. It's a pleasure. It's a joy to come to the house of God and meet with you all. But I'll tell you, we come to the house of God more than just to meet with each other. If that's all it was, it'd just be a social club, wouldn't it? But we come to have fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We come to worship Him and hopefully to feel His presence in our midst. Not only that, I don't know how many times I've thought to myself and I've said to the Lord when I was coming to the house of God and maybe offering my little petition unto Him, that I'd say, Lord, I need a blessing tonight. I'm dry. My walk has been dull lately and I need a special blessing tonight. And there's nothing wrong in asking that. But this woman did not come that night to be refreshed. She came rather to perhaps refresh her Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I've tried to pray a few times in my life that I could be more like David's mighty men that's recorded over in 2 Samuel chapter 23. They were holed up. The Philistines had them holed up in a place and they were cut off from being able to get back to their homeland. land. And David was overheard by some of his three of his mighty men one night, said, "Oh, for a drink of water from that well that sits inside the gate of the city of Bethlehem." And these three men jeopardized their life to go through the lines of the enemy and go back to Bethlehem and to get him a drink of water. David was overcome so much with these men risking their lives just to fulfill his wish or his desire that he refused to drink it. And he poured it out as a drink offering unto the Lord. Oh, if we could be more like that, we'd probably feel more of the blessings of God and the presence of God in our lives. She didn't come this night to make some request of him, but rather what she could do for him on this occasion. Not only that, she didn't come to hear a sermon. We don't read where Jesus preached the sermon on this occasion. Now we come to the house of God, and that's a major part of our service. There's nothing any greater. There is no function in the church that probably is any greater than the preaching of the gospel. And what a blessing sermons are to us sometimes. They can literally save our lives sometimes. There's no doubt that has been the case. But she didn't come to hear a sermon that night. And not only that, it wasn't for popularity. Jesus had been very popular when he was feeding the multitudes. But now that popularity has faded. And now there's great opposition. There's opposition socially. There's opposition to him politically. There's religious opposition to him. But nevertheless, she chose that night to identify herself with him despite his unpopularity. Now, notice with me very carefully this verse. It says that she took a pound of ointment, spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus. I want you to notice she didn't hold one single thing back when it came to the worship of Jesus Christ. And this is my major point, what I really want to get to here tonight. How valuable was it? It tells us it was very costly. Well, the next verse tells us that one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, said, Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? Now, I'm not very good at valuing some things. Automobiles. Sticker shock when I walk up to them. I can't believe that they're worth that. I'm not very good at placing a value on livestock. My dad's very good at that, but I'm just not. But I suspect, and I would propose to you, that probably Judas was the best individual there to put a price on this pound of ointment. You remember, he was the one that kept the bag. And it wasn't because he wanted to be so faithful to the Lord. The Bible tells us that he was a thief. And he says he didn't say this because he cared for the poor, that they could have taken this and given it to him. Well, he said that they could have given it to the poor. But Jesus said he said it because he was a thief and he had the bag and bear that which was in it. I suspect he knew very closely how much this would cost. Now, he says we could have sold it for 300 pence. History, I think, will bear out the fact that the average salary of an average working man in that day was 1 pence per day. Roman soldiers were paid 1 pence per day. There's 365 days a year. When you take out the weekends and perhaps a few special holidays, that was approximately 1 year's wages for an average person. Can you think of anything that you have today that would have cost you 1 year's wages that you'd be willing to lay at the feet of your Savior tonight or any night as far as that's concerned? This thing would have been a family heirloom. I don't know how she got it. I don't know if she earned it. I don't know if she inherited it. That kind of thing sometimes would be inherited and handed down from family to family. I don't know how she got it. There's no way. The Bible doesn't let us know. But the Bible tells us that she had kept it unto this day. Notice, Jesus says in verse 7, Jesus said, "Let her alone. Against the day of my bearing has she kept this." Not that she had just done this. "Against the day of my bearing has she kept this." Perhaps she intended to use it to anoint the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. They didn't have an opportunity. They had such a short span of time to get him ready for burial. It was only 3 hours from the time he died at 3 o'clock in the afternoon before they had to get him in the grave before 6 o'clock because of the time of the Sabbath that was coming up. And they intended to go back on the Lord after the Sabbath, the holy day. And by the way, there's two of them in there. He was in the grave 3 days and three nights. But anyway, they intended to go back. And perhaps she had said this to anoint him later on. I don't know. But the Bible tells us that she poured it out on his feet, anointed him. And Jesus says, "Against the day of my bearing has she kept this." She'd saved it for worship of the Lord Jesus Christ. Perhaps she had it in a drawer in her room somewhere. And while they're enjoying this fellowship, perhaps she, through the Spirit of God, saw the shadow of the cross and realized that this, their friend, was going to die on the cross for her sins. And she slipped back there, pulled it out, and anointed the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you imagine him and how he felt? Must have felt at this time. No wonder he would risk his life and the life of his disciples to come back to this place to have such a precious time together with his disciples. Now, let me close by just asking you this. Are you ever guilty of giving the Lord your leftovers? After you pay all your bills, then whatever might be left over, do you give it to the Lord? Do you spend your time, maybe sometimes on Saturday, working so hard and maybe staying up so late that your body is just not what it ought to be when you come to the house of God? And 5 minutes after you sit down, you're relaxed and you're drifting out and maybe about to go to sleep. Do you ever give your leftovers to the Lord? Do you ever give? Not only do we sometimes give our leftover strength and we give our leftover money, but sometimes we give the Lord our leftover time. If I have time, I'll come to church next Sunday night. If I have time on a special meeting, I'll come to do this. How often it is that we're guilty of just giving the Lord our leftovers. Listen, He didn't give His leftovers to us. He gave His very best. He gave His life on the tree of the cross. Is it a small thing that you and I would be at the house of God every time that we get and trying to refresh Him by our worship and by our service? And not half-hearted worship, but pouring out our heart to God in worship unto Him and giving Him the very best that we possibly have. What a blessing this was to everybody that was gathered there. This odor, that the Bible tells us about this odor. You remember it says the house was filled. Verse 3. The house was filled with the odor of this ointment. It was a blessing not only to Jesus. It was a blessing to her. It was a blessing to those disciples that were in that home that day. And I'll tell you what, it's a blessing not only to them, but it's a blessing to the church today. It's a blessing to me to read this story. Every time I read about what Mary did that night in worshiping her Savior, I'll tell you what, thrills my heart. And it encouraged me to try to do a little better in serving the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a ripple effect, and I believe that ripple effect is still going out and will as long as the church is present here on this earth and in this world. God help us to be more dedicated, more serious, more real in our mind and our thinking and our hearts and giving our very best in service unto Him because He is worthy of our worship. May God add His blessings to these few thoughts.